There we go. Got it now. Wow, what a promise that we have today. I want to welcome all of you all that have joined in today. We've come to worship the Lord this morning and to hear a word from Him. The song, that peace of God, and it does cover us. In John 14:27, we have the word of the Lord on this. It says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I don't give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let it be afraid." It's so easy in this time in which we're living to let our hearts be troubled, to be afraid. But we that are Christians, those of us that are in a relationship with God, knows where our hope is at. We know that God is the God of peace, and He lives in us, so we have peace. And at this time, we can pull that peace up and live in that peace. And so we're so thankful for that today. Again, we want to welcome you all. If you're watching today or if you're listening to this by audio later, just receive from the Lord today, and continue to remember that the church is not the building, it's you. You are the church wherever you go. This building is just a place that we assemble. But for this moment in time, while we're going through this, and I continue to say it's just a moment in time, because this too shall pass, but in the meantime, we're going to continue to worship the Lord and to believe Him and all of His goodness. Amen. So we're going to pray, and then we're going to have a couple more worship songs, and then we're going to get into the Word this morning. Amen. Father, we come to you today in the name of Jesus, that name that is above every name. Father, we ask today that you would just allow your Holy Spirit to come into our midst. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, to come into our midst today. The name of Jesus that is greater than the name of death, sickness, disease. The name of Jesus that's bigger and greater than the name of depression or oppression, viruses of any kind. The name of Jesus has it all covered. It's in you, Lord, that we live, we move, and we have our being. It is you that we run to today for our shelter. And as we have sheltered in place, we know that our shelter is you, God. We choose this day and we choose life. Our hope is in you, for all other ground is sinking sand. And we stand on the promises of your word. And I'm reminded of the song, "Standing on the Promises of God." Standing on the promises of Christ our King. Through all eternal ages, let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, we'll shout and sing, standing on the promises of God that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God, we will prevail, standing on the promises of God. So I just pray God's blessings upon you today as you send your offerings and your tithes. I just pray God's blessings on you, and then He's just going to bless you in an awesome, awesome way as we continue to do what God has called us to do. So we're going into a couple more worship songs, and then we're going to minister the word that the Lord has laid on my heart today, and that's keeping the faith, shelter in place. Amen.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind, 'cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus. Every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn soul held captive by depression. I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Shout Jesus from the mountains and Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name. Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains. Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, and Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, and Jesus in the streets.
Working in this place, I worship you. I worship you. You are here, moving in a mist. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. Hey, we make a miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. We make a miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness.
Waymaker, amen. Light in the darkness. The Bible says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So, and we rest on that promise today, amen. Rest on that promise. God is so good. The presence of the Lord is just awesome, and I know that you are experiencing it in your homes today or wherever you may be listening. The Spirit of the Lord, there's no distance in His Spirit. And we're just so thankful for that today. I'm so excited about the word that God has given me for today. It's of course, the word is good news. So anytime you minister the word, it's good news. But this is such a word for this time in which we're living, a word of encouragement. And again, I say it's just a moment in time. And so we're encouraged today to know that the peace of God covers us, that he is our way maker, and that we put our trust in him. And so that's what it's all about today. Amen. Father, we just thank you for this word that you have laid up on my heart to minister, that you would just hide me behind the cross for a little while today, Lord, that I will be able to speak forth this word under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Your word is anointed, Lord, and it's going to bring peace and hope and encouragement to those that have ears to hear today. And your promise is that your word doesn't go out void, but it's going to accomplish its purpose, and it's going to do what it's sent forth to do. It's going to bring healing. It's going to bring restoration. It's going to bring hope to those that are oppressed today, to those that are living in fear. The fear is going to be lifted off of them today, Lord, as they hear this word. That your word is going forth today, and they hear this word, Lord, and it doesn't fall upon deaf ears, because your word is active, Lord. It's a mighty weapon in the hand of the redeemed of the Lord. Amen. So today's message is titled Keeping the Faith, Shelter in Place. So we keep the faith and shelter in place until the storm passes by. And keeping means to hold on to. When you're keeping something, you're holding on to it. So what should we be holding on to in this moment of time that we're living in with all that's going on? We hold on to our faith. So, you know, when I talk about holding on, I'm not talking about holding on in the fact that we have to keep it's going to get away from us. Because we'll see in a few minutes how that we've already been given faith. So it's time to raise up our shield of faith right now more than ever. More than ever to raise up our shield of faith. In Acts chapter 27, we read a story about Paul. And I won't read the whole scripture of it, but it's found in Acts chapter 27. And Paul was traveling by ship with some people when a wind began to blow. And it's not just any wind, you know, like a cool summer breeze in the middle of summer, whatever. But the Bible says that this was a tempestuous wind. This is a strong wind. In verse 14, for days they were caught up in this storm. And at one point it got so bad, they had to throw over things that were in the boat in order not to be capsized. And so they ended up with no food, hungry, stranded, and at that point to seem to have no hope. And in verse 22, in the middle of this, Paul stands up in the midst of the people and said, I exhort you to be of good cheer. Now that would be an odd thing to say to people when they have, in the midst of a storm or coming through a storm, to tell them, hey, let's be of good cheer. Let's be confident. Let's have confidence. Let's have a good attitude. Let's have hope. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of the Lord of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, you must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given you all them that sail with you. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, keep your courage, have faith, for I believe that God shall be even, it shall be even as God has told me. Wow. Faith, for I believe that God, that it shall be as even it was told me. So how could Paul, as I said, in the middle of this storm, ask them to be of good cheer? Because Paul believed in his heart, without a doubt, that it would be exactly as it was told him. And this is a great example for us as of the power of faith in God when all hope seems gone, when things seem hopeless and there's no end in sight. He knew his hope was not in man, but in God. So where is your hope today? Is it in yourself to get you through? Is it in other people to get you through? Is it in your all these things in life that we may want to cling to get us through? What is your hope clinging to today? And so one of the many struggles that I find that Christians have, and I've been through it myself, one of the greatest struggles is, do I have enough faith to get through this? Do I have enough faith to get through this storm? Do I have enough faith to continue to believe when I see no end in sight? Do I have enough faith to see this thing through? And my answer to you today is an astounding yes, yes, yes. You have enough faith. And so, like I said before, when I say hold on to faith, I don't mean your faith is going anywhere. You can't. Once you're a child of God and born again, faith has been given to you, and that cannot be taken away. But our problem lies in the fact that we have lack of knowledge how to use that faith and stand on that faith. So within every person that has heard the good news of salvation and have accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, they have been given the gift of faith, supernatural faith. And then we can say, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I have all the faith I need to overcome anything that life may throw at me. It's not my human faith. You know, we're talking about the faith of God, the supernatural faith of God to carry us through. Because human faith can only believe what it can see, taste, hear, or smell. I'm talking about a supernatural faith that was given to you at salvation. And in the storm, you'll be able to rise without a doubt, believing that it will be as exactly as it was told to you. And I want to encourage you today that God is faithful to all of his promises concerning you. And you know what? The very same faith that Paul had, we have. The very same faith that Paul had, that he was able to stand up in the midst of that and say, listen, guys, don't fear. Be of good cheer. I believe that it's going to be as exactly as the Lord has told me. So the very same faith Paul had and wrote in the Ephesians chapter 6 about the armor of God. He said, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. That's the key. Be strong in the Lord, not in yourself, and in his mighty power. And then Paul goes on to tell us, put on the full armor of God. Why? So that you may take a stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, authorities, powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, Paul continues, put on the full armor of God, so that when, not if, but when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. Then with the, and after you have done everything, stand. Then you're not going to be standing alone, though. You're not going to be standing by yourself, though. He goes on to say, stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, breastplate of righteousness in place, your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Talking about a lot of peace today. Above all these things that Paul mentioned above, he says, above all these that you're armored with already, take up the shield of faith. Take up the shield of faith. The shield of faith is what's going to make all these other things above that work. Above all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Then he goes on to say, take up the helmet of salvation and what? And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That is our sword, the Word of God. That's the faith. That's the foundation of which we stand on. So Paul says, take up, put on the shield of faith. We take up the shield of faith that is already present in us, that's been given to us at our salvation, this supernatural faith, and be in us and begin to speak faith-filled words in the midst of the storm that we may be in. That was what will calm the storm down. And even though we may have to go through it, and we don't know how long storms in life sometimes last, they may be momentarily, you know, or it may be a long stretch, but what's going to get us through is faith, believing, and trusting that all of God's promises are yes and amen concerning us. And we take up the shield of faith. We are in agreement. When we take up the shield of faith, we are in agreement with the Word, in agreement with what God has said and spoken. Take up the shield of faith with which? What is that which? The shield of faith. What does it do? It extinguishes all the flaming arrows of the evil one. So what are the flaming arrows of the enemy? I believe the flaming arrows of the enemy is anything that is opposed to the Word of God. Anything that is contrary to the Word of God, the enemy wants to throw that arrow at you. And the one that I've been seeing mostly since this virus has come upon the land is fear. Is fear. Fear will cause you to become stagnated. It will cause you to begin to stand still and to begin to make decisions that you would not ordinarily make if you weren't living in fear. So we as born-again believers, we keep the faith. We operate in faith and not fear by putting ourselves in remembrance of 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. So when the enemy attacks us as believers, we're to stand our ground, putting that shield of faith up, trusting in God, His sure promises to block and quench the flaming arrow of the evil one. Keeping the victory, standing in the position of victory, as I talked about last week. We stand in the position of victory, church. We stand, we speak in that position. We pray in that position. You know, we dance in that position, in the position of victory. 1 John 5:5 tells us, who is he that is victorious over, that conquers the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God, who adheres to, trusts in, and relies on the fact. What fact? That Jesus is the Son of God. So, and another translation says, so who are the world conquerors defeating its power? Those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Those are the world conquerors. So the world in this passage means all that is of the world that comes against us. He said that we're going to be able to conquer it. Do you believe? So faith is that victory of overcoming. So as long as we are in this body, living in this earth, this world that has fallen, not been redeemed yet, we that are Christians are the ones that are redeemed and living in this fallen world, we're going to go through things. We're going to be subject to go through things. But at that moment, we can choose to accept it or we can choose to stand against it. And you know, you're either going to be walking in faith or walking in fear. So if we're going to face opposition, because the Word tells us in John 16:33, he says, in this world, in this place that you're living in right now, you're going to have tribulations, trials, distress, and frustration. But then here he goes on and tells us, but be of good cheer. So he says, be of good cheer. Yeah, you're in this world. You're not of this world. And when you're really thinking about it, you're not here very long. He says, but while you're here, you're going to have all these things. Then he says, be of good cheer, which means to take courage. Be confident, certain, undaunted. Why? Because he says, for I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of its power to harm you and have conquered it for you. Wow. So faith is based on the truth that Jesus has already come. Every enemy, those seen and unseen, that will come against us or are coming against us in this life. He says, go ahead and be of good cheer. These things are going to be happening, tribulation and all that. But be of good cheer. I've already overcome it. And so since I've already overcome it, so can you. I paid the price for it. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So since he has overcome, so will we. And the same faith Jesus had when he was on this earth is the same faith that we have, just like Paul. Because sometimes we can look at other people and we can say, man, I wish I had the faith they had. If I had the faith they had, then I would be able to overcome. No. You have the same measure of faith. And sometimes it's just our lack of knowledge of how to use faith and how to stand on faith and come into agreement with God's word. But all of us have that same faith. Tribulation, meaning pressure, oppression, stress, anguish, adversity, afflictions, crushing, squashing, squeezing, and distress. Have any of you all felt like this in the last few weeks? Because our life as we know it has been turned upside down. It's not the norm no more, you know? We're out of our routine, out of our comfort zone, some of us are. And we may be feeling some of this in the last few weeks. And imagine placing your hand on a stack of loose items and manually pressing it down. The word tribulation is thlipsis, meaning a lot of pressure on that which is free and unfettered. That is it. Remember last week I talked about how that the word virus, when I looked at that word, what came into my spirit was a victory in redemption under siege. Anytime the enemy throws fiery darts at us, it is to get to let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That is what comes against us to cause us to quit. He can't take the redemption away from us because we've been sealed with that promise. You know, redemption, victory and redemption under siege. Titus 2:14 says, Jesus, who gave himself on our behalf that he might redeem us, purchase our freedom from all iniquity, and purify for himself a people to be peculiarly his own people, who are eager and enthusiastic about living a life that is good and filled with beneficial deeds. The enemy doesn't want us to live a life of grace and to understand grace and to know grace and to live a life good and filled. So we hold on to faith because our redemption is under siege. Not, as I said, that it can be taken away, but pressure on us to give up and quit believing and quit trusting God, you know, and in times of difficulty and when things come against us. But faith is what brings the things God has provided for us from the spiritual realm into the place we live, the physical realm. Faith is what brings the things of God provided for us from the spiritual realm into the place we live, the physical realm. Hebrews 11:1, a very familiar passage of Scripture. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance. Faith is the substance. Substance is that which is the basis of something. It's what makes up something, the foundation of which everything else relies on. An Amplified Bible reads it, now faith is the assurance, title deed, confirmation of things hoped for, divinely guaranteed, and the evidence of things not seen, the conviction of their reality. Faith comprehends as a fact that cannot be experienced by the physical senses. So when we say that faith is the substance of, it is the undergird of everything that we believe. It's what causes the promises of God to come into our life. It's the substance. It's the foundation of everything we believe and we rely on. The Message Bible says like this, a fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, it's a firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see. Because people of faith believe it before they see the manifestation of it, because they've read in the Word that it's a promise from God.
And so that pressure that I was talking about earlier, that comes from the world, that wants is for the people that have been set free by God, that have been redeemed. Because we have been set free to live as God has called us to. So everything the Lord does for us is accessed through faith. It has done for us. It's accessed through faith. Faith is not denying the realities of a situation. You know, you just don't deny something and say, well, I just don't believe this, believe that's right, and you just continue to sweep it under the rug. And no, it doesn't deny. But faith stands up in the face of those things and says, this is what the Word of God says about the situation. This is what I know to be of truth. I know the report may be this, and they say it's going to last this long, and all of these things. But we stand up on the truth of God. We stand up on His truth. That is the believing. Faith is not denying the realities of a situation, but believing in a power which is bigger than any storm they may confront us in life. How big are you believing that your God is? This is the supernatural power of God living in us, that lives in us and through us, by the faith given to us at our salvation and believing. Everything that you need to be an overcomer in this life, and that faith that undergirds everything, as you speak it forth, everything has already been put in us at our spiritual birth. But it's our lack of knowledge, it's our lack of getting into the Word to find out how to bring that forth. And renewing our mind with the Word over and over again. Keeping our faith is believing in the Word to be of truth. We don't believe for something that isn't real to become real. We already know that it is by faith, as we look with the eyes of faith. The supernatural faith looks beyond to what we know to be of truth. We see a manifestation already in our realm. That's why we can begin to praise God for it. So this faith we've been given does not deny physical facts. It just refuses to let those things dominate what we know to be the truth, which is the Word of the living God, which is the Word. 2 Corinthians 5:7 tells us, for we live, we move, we walk, we trust by faith, not by what we see with our eyes. Another translation says, indeed our lives are guided by faith and not by sight. 1 Corinthians 16:13 tells us, be alert and be on your guard. Stand firm in your faith. Hold firmly to all that you believe. Keep in the trust and holy fervor born of God, born of faith, and be part of it. Be mighty and full of courage. Be mighty and full of courage. And this, see, you've got to understand, this is not done in our own strength. But it's the power of God that's living within us that we rely on and that we pull on in times such as we're living in today. So we keep the faith by staying in the Word, believing that all the promises of God are true. Our faith isn't always tried in the good times of life. Our faith is tried during trials and times of challenges and the storms that we go through. Because if we never went through life and life was just one big bed of roses, there would be no reason for faith. So if God tells us to have faith and trust Him, then there's a reason for it. He knew that we were going to be challenged. He knew that we were going to be persecuted. He knew that we were going to be going through tribulations and all those things. That's why Paul says, keep the faith. Keep the faith. So I encourage each and every one of you at this time to lean into the faith that you have. So when you lean into something, you are covered by it. Lean into the faith that you have. You don't need more faith. You've got all the faith you need. All you need to do is begin to speak, begin to believe, and to begin to trust God. And renewing your mind with your Word, because this too shall pass. Keep the faith. Shelter in place. Shelter in place is definitely a word that we've all heard in recent days. And so some of you may go, oh, I don't want to hear that word, you know. So the purpose of a shelter is for protection. Shelter meaning something beneath or within which a person is protected from storms. A shelter is a place of refuge. And I thought about this old song that we used to sing years ago when I was little in church, the Baptist church. And I've changed a couple words of it. So those of you that are very familiar will know the song. I feel the touch of hands so kind and tender. They're leading me in the path that I walk. I have no fear when Jesus walks beside me, for I am sheltered. Wow. Sheltered in the arms of God. So let the clouds, let the storm clouds rage high, the dark clouds rise. They don't weary me, for I am sheltered safe within the arms of God. He walks with me, and naught of earth can harm me. Sheltered safe in the arms of God. And that's what happens when you lean into God. He just wraps his big old arms around you, pulls you into him, and that's when you're sheltered in place. So we as children of God have a shelter already in place for the storms of life. And God, and the God we run to, we believe in him and his promises. It is he himself that protects us. So as we look at God being our shield, our shelter, our refuge, when we place faith in him, it's found at least 20 times in the book of Psalms alone. Over and over again, God describes as our shield and fortress, the one who protects us from the enemy. That's who we run to. We don't run to the social media to get help and to find our answers and find our shelter. You know, we don't run to those sources. We run to God, for he is our help. In Psalms 91:4, it says, God's faithfulness itself is described as a shield. Psalm 76:3 says that God breaks the arrows of our enemies. Proverbs 35 tells us, we read that God is a shield to those who put their trust in him. So how do you access the refuge, the shelter of God? Like you access any other promises in the Bible. You believe it when God says, I'm your refuge. You believe it when God says, lean into me. You just access it by faith. Believe it and trust it. If that's what he says, that's what I'll do. And it's going to be like he says it's going to be. So David is a great example of someone who knew God as his refuge. Oh, I know David didn't live a perfect life, but neither does any of us. That's why we have grace. So at different points in his life, we see David on the run from people who literally wanted to kill him, but he always found safety in God. Psalm 6:7, David says, my salvation, my honor depends on God. He is my rock, my fortress, and he is my refuge. Wow. Trust in him at all times, you people. David says, pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. So David, when he fled from Saul into the cave, lost, nowhere to go, he couldn't go back home to his family because the enemy would follow him there and kill them. He couldn't run back to the sanctuary of the temple. So, but he lost and nowhere to go. He remembers in times past that God had been faithful. And since God was faithful before, he was going to be faithful again. So he runs to the safest place, his place of shelter. And in Psalms 57:1, David says, be merciful and gracious to me, O God. Be merciful and gracious to me, for my soul takes refuge and finds shelter and confidence in you. Yes, in the shadow of your wings will I take refuge and be confident. Be confident until calamitous and destructive storms pass by. So when the enemy was after Saul and they were wanting to come and kill him, what did he do? He runs to God. You know, he runs to God. He said, I'm going to stay here until this storm passes by, and you're going to protect me in the meantime. And like I said before, we just access the promise of God as a refuge, just like we access any of the other promises of God. Just take him at his word. Just take him at his word. You know, you've heard that saying in your life. I've heard people say, oh, he's an honest person. You can just take him at his word. So what are they saying? They're saying that person's going to do whatever they say they're going to do. They're going to do it. And you don't have no reason to doubt him, to doubt them. You have no reason to not think that they're not going to do what they say they're going to do. So that's what we can do with God. We can take him at his word and let that faith be the substance of what he has said, and they're believing. By believing his word is truth, keeping the faith in times of life's storms, and finding that shelter at those times. So if you listen to the news, most of them offers no hope. Things are bad, and they're only going to get worse. Is that our truth as sons and daughters of God? Are we accepting that as our truth? Are we accepting that as our truth? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Because our truth belongs to us that are sons and daughters of God. And that is what the Word says. That is what we stand on. That is our final, first and final authority as children of God. What the Word has to say. And it's a lot offering. You know, you may think, well, this is really a bad time we're living in. Look at all this is happening. And the news is saying this. And the news is saying that. And all this is going on. How can you say that? Are you not offering people false hope? No, I'm offering you the only hope that you have. And that's standing on the promises of God. And saying, listen, Jesus is the answer to all. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Whoever comes into him shall be saved. It's not offering people false hope. It's offering people the only hope that we have. The only hope that we have. So absolutely our truth that belongs to us is what the Word says. The world's view of things at this moment of time. And sadly, some Christian folks, people that have been in church, God is causing this storm we're in, or he doesn't care that we're living through this. Why is this bad things happening? We're under the wrath of God, you know, or all these things. And, you know, I'm not waiting for the wrath of God to pass by. You know, people have been putting this stuff on social media. It says in Deuteronomy 26, blah, blah, blah. Go in your house, lock the door, and wait until the wrath of God passes by. God is not a God of wrath. He's a God of unconditional love, and that's all he is. He is goodness. He is goodness. He is goodness. And he wants to be good for you. How can you believe at a time that if God is a God of wrath, then he's going to turn around and be good? He doesn't have to prove himself to cause bad things to happen. Bad things happen in this world because we live in a fallen world that's not been redeemed. Bad things happen because we make our choices sometimes that are not good. But thanks be to God, he is there to help us out of it, to bring us to that place in him. So he is the Almighty One that knows the beginning to the end to the beginning. And we're called to walk out the middle. And he knows too and has made a way for us as we take shelter in him. He already knows the end from the beginning. That should bring great comfort to us as children of God to say, God, you already knew this was going to happen. But God is sovereign, and he just doesn't zap down and make things go away. He's called us to trust him and realize that he's not the author of all these things. But he calls us to walk out the middle. Yeah, he already knows what's going to happen in the middle from the beginning to the end and the end to the beginning. But we're walking out that middle, and that's where our faith comes in and our trust and the times that we need to run and find shelter in God in those times. The Bible says in Psalms 91:2, in him we find safety. We can say with confidence, the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. On him I lean, rely, and in him I confidently trust. That refuge has already been there, church. But with times like this, that shelter, that fortress that's in God has already been there. It's never been taken away. And when we say that we are running to that shelter and we are running under his arms, it's just saying that we're reminding ourselves that he's always been there. But we're just reminding ourselves again and bring it up to the forefront. God, you are my protector. You are my shield. And through you, we will get through this. Amen. During this time, let us remember Psalms 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. Whose foe no power can withstand. I will say of the Lord. What does that tell me? That means that the redeemed of the Lord are saying so, that we have power in the earth to turn situations around. It says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So, again, I ask you, what is your say-so been in this situation? Whatever your say-so is what you are agreeing to. I will say of the Lord. What are you saying of the Lord? He is my refuge. He is my fortress. He is my God. On him, here goes this word, lean again. And when I imagine that in my heart, when you lean into something, it's like, you know, you're playing with this silly stuff, dough stuff that the kids make nowadays out of glue and shaving cream and stuff. It's just like it's laying there. When you begin to press on it, your fingers just kind of lean into it, and that gooey stuff gets all over your hands, and your hands are just covered with it. That's what I imagine happens when we lean into God. When we lean into him, he just covers us. And no outside forces can penetrate us. It says, whose power no can withstand. I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge, my fortress. My God, on him I lean. What are you leaning on today to get you through this time? And in him, I confidently trust. And another scripture is found in Psalms 9:9-10. The Lord also be a refuge and a high tower for the oppressed. And this is a great opportunity for the enemy to oppress people. To oppress people and to get you to thinking there's no way out. And to apply that pressure to you. But you've been set free by God. Amen. A refuge and a stronghold in times of trouble. High cost, destitution, and desperation. 10. And verse 10, and they who know your name, the name of Jesus. It's another word we've been talking about this service, the peace of God, the name of Jesus. Amen. The way maker. Hallelujah. That's who you belong to today, church. That's who you are in relationship with this morning. And they who know your name, who have experienced an acquaintance with your mercy, we'll lean on, and here's that word again, lean. Lean on and confidently put their trust in you. Here's that word, trust again. For you, Lord, have not forsaken. So during this time, don't think that it's the wrath of God. Don't think that God has forsaken you. He knows exactly where you're at. He knows exactly what you need. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, somebody. You need to praise God right now where you're at, because there's breakthrough coming. We decree it and we declare it right now in the name of Jesus. There is breakthrough. Huh? Yes, 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 and yes. So who have experienced an acquaintance with your mercy will lean on and confidently put their trust in you. And again, I ask you, who are you putting your trust in? Are you putting some trust in chariots, some in horses? But we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. He is our strong tower. Hallelujah. Who have not forsaken those who seek, inquire of, and for you on the authority of God's word and the right of their necessity. Wow. Hallelujah. That is shouting word today. Amen. That is shouting word today. Keep the faith. We have a shelter that has already been in place. You know, I grew up with we had a cellar in our front yard. And if it thundered, we went to the cellar. I never understood that. All my life, I was drug out of the bed and went to the cellar because it was thundering and lightning. We didn't have no radio to say what was going on. But I want to tell you, church, we went to that place when it thundered and lightning and began to storm, because my dad and mom felt like it was a place of safety for the kids. Amen. It was a place of safety for the kids, so they was taking there. It was already in place. You know, it was already there for us, for the partaking of it. And it's like we are going to experience storms in their life. in our lives. When this is over, there's going to be something else individually. Amen. But I believe that in this time that's going on right now, I believe it's going to draw the saints closer together. I believe that we're going to see salvation of souls out of this. I believe God's glory is going to be seen in the midst of this. Hallelujah. I believe, church, I believe that with all my heart. So we have to keep the faith and know that we have a shelter that's already in place. We don't have to run and make one when the storm hits. We don't have to run and make one. It's already there. We're just being reminded over and over again of God's mercy and of God's grace and of God's love for us. And that we are already hidden in Him. That we are already abiding in Him through that relationship that we have with Him. And in closing today, I want to read you this song, because I don't sing, not yet anyway. But I want to read you a song, and it's a song that I would hear my mama going around the house all my life. This is her favorite song. She sang it. I'd hear her singing it under her breath over and over again. And we've talked a lot about leaning this morning. We've talked a lot about leaning also. And as you lean into Jesus, as you lean into Him, know that He's got you covered. Leaning on the everlasting arms. And that's what happens when we know we're in that safe place, in that place of refuge. What a fellowship. What a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness. What a peace. Here we go with that word peace again. Is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms, safe and secure from all alarms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms, I bless at peace with my Lord so near. How sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms, safe and secure from all alarms. And that's where we're at today, church, leaning on the everlasting arms. And I just want to pray for you right now real quickly. I just want to speak to you today. If you're having pain in your body, I speak healing over you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Hallelujah. The one that has been experiencing, the calf area of your legs, those muscle spasms at night, whatever's causing those, I just speak healing over that area of your body in the name of Jesus. I speak healing over you. In Jesus' mighty name, those that are having worries and concerns about what's going on, I speak peace over you. I speak the peace of God over you. It covers you right now in the name of Jesus. It covers you. The peace of God covers you. You and your household in the name of Jesus. God is going to take care of you. He has already provided everything that you need. Rest in Him, lean in Him at this time, and know that God is for you and He loves you. There's nothing, nowhere that you can go from the presence of God. He is pursuing you, and His goodness is running to catch you and grab you. And I decree and declare God's blessings over your home and over your life, that you have more than enough, not just for you, but that you're able to bless others with what you have. And I speak His healing over you, body, soul, and mind. Jesus loves you, and so do we. And by God's grace, we are going to carry on. Amen and amen.